Viking fans, welcome to tonight's episode, season 5, episode 17, the most terrible thing. And shit is finally happening in Iceland.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Good evening, Viking fans. Welcome to tonight's episode. We are here ready to talk Vikings with you guys. Myself and Al over here. My name is Jaku.
This guy. Algy, what up?
We're in the middle. Camera over here looking at you guys. You guys get this broad view. We've got Vikings in the background. And we are ready to jump right into this. Once again, if you guys are on the live chat tonight, thank you so much. Welcome. You guys are blowing it up. Mark has been waiting for us. Dude, we are here. Relax. We are with you. Megan, I see you. Lollipop Girl, Adriatni is here. Welcome, everybody. If you have any comments, any suggestions, anything like that, throw it in the comments. We are looking at it. And we will call you guys out.
Damn.
Right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So Alice, like, stop talking, Jaku, and let's just get to this freaking show right now. All right. So let's start off with this overall thoughts. What do you think?
I enjoyed the episode. No big battles, but definitely some gut-wrenching moments, and, you know, and we're going to get into all that stuff.
We're going to get into it. No big battles, but really some mental battles all over the place, and it's very personal. A big battle is like gore. It's got really personal in this episode. So I think we'll start it off with, and I forgot what I wanted to do. I think I said York. Let's start it off with York. It's kind of a short one. We'll end it off with Iceland because Iceland is the good stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, right. That shit just went wild, finally. Let's start with York. So Bjorn is training these Vikings. He's getting ready to go to Kattegat. Right? Mm-hmm. He wants to sail immediately. He's got things getting ready, but I feel like he's like struggling with King Harald here a little bit because he sees King Harald's eyeing his woman.
Mm. Yeah, I knew that was going to be an issue. It's definitely interesting dynamic, and her name, man, Gunhild? We'll get into her, but man, she's definitely real slippery. She's definitely using the power of the pea.
Power of the P is being used in this moment. So let's just talk about this whole situation here. So first of all, she's out there kicking ass on the battlefield, like just showing left and right. And my wife even called this out. She said that there's so many female characters, that is powerful in this whole season, which is awesome. And right? Yeah. Yes. Where's the cheers on the live chat? That's awesome. And so she's just kicking ass there. She's like beating people up, and King Harald likes it because he calls it out.
Right?
Yeah. He loves it.
He loves, I mean, and what's not to like, and the funny thing is we know that they had that kind of, like, interesting rapport when she dropped that, like, flirt bomb with him, you know, before they went into battle before, like, you know.
She did.
Yeah, she was like, you know, you will be married again, and I don't know, man. You got to keep an eye on her.
Okay, well, you keeping an eye on her, and that's that's what I asked in the live chat before we even started. Yeah, I was talking to the guys in the live chat, and I asked, like, you know, is she playing both sides? Is she and Aria or Davis is saying she's a double agent. So what do you think?
I agree 100%. Even when Bjorn was kind of talking to her, and he was honest. He was like, I'm not sure if I love you. I think I do. Maybe I do. But she was so noncommittal the whole time. She wouldn't just say, I love you or I love Harald.
She wanted him to say it.
There you go.
Right?
She
wanted him to say it first. So let's, before we get into the slippery part, before we get to this, because the scene ends with York as basically the, you know, Harald and Gunhild versus Bjorn and Gunhild. So before we get there, Bjorn is super anxious to get to Kattegat. So he wants to attack when people aren't expecting it. So I'm guessing it's winter and there's storms on the English Channel and some shit's going down there. Right.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm glad there's that tension there because sometimes I feel like things have been too easy, at least for Bjorn. You know, he got back really easy. They accepted him really easy. Are they supposed to just drop everything and attack right when he wants to attack? You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of leverage. So I think it's good that Harald's like kind of like making him earn it, make him wait a little bit.
I like that. He's making him wait a little bit, but he's also sweetening the deal, saying like, listen, my proposal before this was with your brother saying, like, well, if Ivar dies, then I become king. And Bjorn is like, well, yeah, it'll just keep the same you know, thing. But that's why I said, it's like, yeah, it's easy for you to say, Bjorn, because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 years. It's just, let's just, he's basically agreeing with Bjorn at that second. Mm. And tomorrow is killing King Harald. So it's like, yeah, you swear in your arm ring, and then he would swear on his wife, his to-be wife,
yeah.
Which is where all this tension between Gunnhild, Harald, and Bjorn, the triangle.
And my first thing is like, Harald's in love with Gunnhild so much, he might be trying to kill, you know, Bjorn, you know, next time he turns his back.
Well, we know that's not going to happen. It can't, because then the show's
okay.
Over. So Bjorn is a legend. Somebody called it out earlier saying like, Bjorn is acting really improved throughout the seasons, is what someone said here, and that he will definitely stay till the end, which I hope he does.
They've definitely given him more depth than, yep, as a character.
Absolutely. So now they're getting ready. King Harald's like, cool, you'll have your ships. We are sailing to Kattegat, and we will attack Ivar, and I will be king if you die. Cool. Now the whole triangle situation, right? Mm-hmm. So Gunnhild is talking to Harald. She's like, okay, listen, do you still want to be king of the all of Norway? It's like, obviously, yes. Well, it's like, well, I will want to be queen. And she also mentioned saying like, no man will ever claim me.
Wow.
Right?
That powerful, very important words.
Exactly. And so because she says that, I'm thinking like, yeah, she is a double agent, but she's not a... Okay, so what does a double agent mean? It's like you need to lean like towards either the one side or the other side. My instinct is telling me she's leaning towards her side. Like she's not on the left or the right.
Yeah, she's all about herself.
She's all about herself. She's waiting for the perfect moment, which leads into her talking to Bjorn. And this was kind of a beautiful, beautiful scene. I don't think if you've seen it, and call it out in the live chat, please. Bjorn started crying.
Yeah.
Like, I literally pointed on his face. He was like a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm. He was, and he was truly vulnerable. And at that time, he was alone, because it's not just that he's alone with her and bearing his feelings. He's over there in Harald's army within them as a guest. You know, he doesn't have an army. So this is the first time, like, he truly is alone. So I think that, yeah, it takes a big man to kind of say it. Maybe
you
most
think
people...
he's alone because he doesn't have an army. He's all alone. He doesn't have his brothers or family. And he's falling for this girl. And Megan is saying it in the live chat. Megan is saying, King Harald fell so hard, so fast for this girl.
Mm.
And he did, right?
Yeah, he did.
But
he did.
So did Bjorn.
So did Bjorn. I think, and the fact that, I mean, I knew she was trouble once she was still entertaining Harald, because I thought once she ended up with Bjorn, that was pretty much going to be it. But the fact that, I guess, she was intrigued by the fact that, I don't know, that Harald is still, you know, the acting king, and that he's still pining for her. Who wouldn't love that? Who wouldn't love that if, like, the acting king was still pining over you, even though you have another guy you're supposedly claimed to? Yeah, of course she would love it.
And not just another guy, but one of the most... But he says, she said it, the most famous person in the world. So yeah, she is just all up in there, famous.
She's loving it.
I want to call out your Emily Edwards saying, hey, everybody. And she said also that this episode was boring, completely boring. You know what, Emily? I got the same vibe. Yes, we didn't have any big battle scenes or anything like that. But like we always say, you know, and James has said it before as well, we kind of need these episodes to kind of just tie the knots together and connect everything. So we kind of have to like just... do our part, watch it, and see it through, and then the next three episodes will hopefully be epic, because there's a lot of things that...
Yeah, we're laying the groundwork for a lot of stuff.
Oh my God, we're laying the groundwork so thick, and it's going to be amazing. Yeah. Cool. And so, yeah, he's in love, and that's about it. Is anything else happening in York?
That sounds like you nailed it to me.
One last thing from York, which I think is very important, is the Bjorn calling it, I am afraid. Bjorn Ironside... saying that I am afraid, and then she even said, like, the most, you know, famous person in the world is saying, I didn't expect you to say that, nor did I.
And I think that, and thank goodness she was finally able to, like, somewhat reciprocate or at least acknowledge that. She just wanted, here's the most famous man in the world. And like you said, she wanted him to be vulnerable to her, which he did. Not only was he scared, not only had to say, I love you, basically, I thought he was going to start crying, getting on his knees. I don't know. Clacking together.
He was almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he laid it all bare. So, I mean, you know, a good woman, you know, she wants, you know, she basically got down to his essence. And I think, and actually, I think there's something to be said for a man who can admit his humility and where he's at in life without necessarily always having to put on airs. So that's kind of, I think that's being right-sized.
Right-sized is exactly what it is. And it's also like his authentic self. So if Bjorn Ironside is going to say, I love you, which he did say, and start crying, I mean, that is like, you don't get any more real than that. So what I want to know from you, Al, and I want to know from you guys in the live chat right now is, after you've both seen both sides, you've seen Gunnhild with King Harald, you've seen Gunnhild with Bjorn, after she has experienced both of those sides, which side is she going to fall to? Like, which side is she going to pick? Let me know in the comments. We can call it out. What do you think?
Oh, man, she's playing the long game. It's too early to tell. I don't think she knows. She's still hedging her bets.
So you don't think she knows. I think that she is she literally did her research. She went to the one. What am I going to get there? What am I going to get with the other one?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can get the one is fame. The one is queendom. The other one is true love. So now you just have to ask you what she wants.
There you go.
All right. So let's see. So that's it for York. I'll call it out if you guys let me know which side you think Gunhild is going to fall to. Let's go to Kattegat, because York and Kattegat is kind of intertwined,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're talking about attacking Kattegat the whole time. They're sending their army towards Kattegat. And there's a lot of other things happening in Kattegat as well at this point.
Yeah, Ivar's consolidating his power, man. He doesn't miss a beat, you know?
He doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't miss a beat. You know what? I think he missed a few beats in this,
okay.
well, in this one scene. I agree with you, okay. Al. Very much. I agree with you. But I do think he missed a few beats in this one scene. Well, maybe we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's start in the beginning of Kattegat, because I think that's a very pivotal point. By the way, guys, thank you so much for you guys in the live chat. If you are listening to us on iTunes, make sure to give us a 5 stars. Make sure to give us a comment there. If you guys are in the live chat, even if you're not watching this live, you can, you know, you're watching this afterwards, tomorrow, whatnot, give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment down in the section. We always read through the comments. We have such amazing fans and such a, you guys really gave us some love in the previous episode, and I really thank you for that. So thank you very much. No cheers, Steve. Yay!
There we go.
And I would be amiss if Steve, you should really fire me, because I'm really doing such a poor job at hosting this show.
You're kicking butt, man.
I didn't even introduce you. So Steve, say hi to the people.
Hi, guys.
Steve's the God's eye voice, God voice.
Steve is the voice of God, making sound effects, giving his comment now and again on what he thinks about the show. So, hi, Steve, and thank you for doing such a great job in running the show.
Carry on, guys.
Thank you very much. Here we got the green light. So, all right. So, Kattegat, Ivar, he wants to change the rules. So he has a huge spiel. Everybody can vote on everything. You know, we have certain things, people to vote on certain aspects of all of it. But why is he doing that? Like, why is he making such a point of that?
Obviously, he's doing the, quote, benevolent dictator. I do this because I care for you. I don't want you to have to worry about all those burdens and worry about those laws and voting. I'll take care of it. Me and my people in a trust, if you don't, you worry your pretty little head. Just, you know, the thing is, you know, is that I'll take care of you, but you must let me know who's against me. That's the thing. You know?
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, and I like how at that point he's just setting the ambiance and dimming the lights.
Yeah.
And okay, and he's like giving the signal, and then all this like posse is like just
You notice that, right?
Dimming the lights, and now
and like the background changed and everything.
And he's sitting there like a storyteller, and he's like, "All right, so this is what's going to happen. Everybody, listen up, okay? All right." I like that. And he goes into like people, you know, telling everybody and whispering that I'm the enemy, and so I think things are getting to him. I think his brother is obviously getting to him, and we saw that in this episode.
You know what the seer said, one interesting thing before Ivar killed him. He said, "Ivar, you have a snake in your mind, literally." And you and I were both looking at that later on when he left that trail to the snake. I don't want to spoil the lead. But the point is, I think he's definitely, whether you call him possessed, demon, or borderline personality, but he's definitely on the edge. He's on that other end right now. He's beyond reason at this point.
He's beyond reason. He's just damn right out crazy.
Yeah.
Right? He gets real here. He's talking to everybody. He's like, "We need to figure out who's against me, because you want me to crush everybody." Like, yes, he's riling up his crowd. He's getting his fans. He's a great speech. He's a great talker. Mm-hmm. He knows what the people wants to hear, and he tells them exactly that, and he changes their minds in an instant. These guys are, "Hail Ivar, hail Odin, hail Ivar." Okay, so he's got them all around their pinky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's alone in the room with Freydis. And so, mm-hmm. Okay, so now what happens?
Freitas is, she says, well, when he opens up about what should I do with my brother. And that's always, you know, we're always wondering what's going to happen with Vitsik. You know, he's like, he's going to let him just wander around and be a thorn in his side and constantly question his authority. And then she makes a good question. She says, well, do you want to be a king who's loved or a king who's feared? And I would have thought Ivar had no doubt he'd rather be feared. But, you know, she's, I guess, her putting that out there, I guess, is making him probably open to the fact that, maybe Ivar can finally be loved. He's always wanted to be loved.
He's always wanted to be loved. He said it in the previous
episode,
or in the Twigger, he said, all I wanted was to be loved.
All he wanted to be loved. So the fear, making people fear him, I think, is easy. And I think that's she's definitely tapped into something. You know, that's something he's always wanted.
Well, she asked him, and he said, I don't know, because I think he's listening to reason. And so I thought it was good advice. I mean, it is good advice. But and so who said it here? Someone is messing with her head. I can't wait for Vitsek to break away from Ivar. His wife is messing with his head, as Davis said that. So, I mean, first of all, in this scene, we're saying he's crazy, completely off the trails. But at this scene, he's like lying on his side. And he's like really like in thought. He's really thinking, like he's contemplating.
Right.
He's you know looking back.
Right.
And so it's like once again a really real moment that he's having. It's like they hate me. My brother hates me.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think let's clarify. I think you are on the same page that while we've been calling Ivar crazy loosely, he's crazy like a fox. He's not so far crazy that he's not able to ascertain reality and see what's going on.
Well, he thinks he's a god.
Yeah, he thinks he's a god, but he does realize that if I kill my brother, you know, then the people will hate me, and Freitas reminds him of that. So he's still able to debate a little bit of reason.
It's interesting you say that, because in the beginning you said, well, if I burn my brother, if I kill my own brother, then there would be no doubt for people like who would stand up against me.
True.
Was his first thought, and that's the kind of, do you want people to fear or love you? So that's the fear kind, right?
Yeah.
And then Freitas were like, okay, well, but I have a fear versus love. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he's like, I don't know. Like, because my instinct's telling me like this guy wants the fear. She's telling love. And he is obviously going to listen to, like we've seen now already, going to listen to anything that she says.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's picking that side.
And I think that's actually like a good solution. I was surprised, though. I mean, are we going to talk about that scene where Ivar makes the offer to Vitsik?
Yeah, that's happened.
Okay, so that's where we're at right now. Yeah, so when he snakes on in, and I'm surprised. I mean, definitely, literally snakes on in, like leaves the trail of a snake. That harkens back to just the seer comparing him to his skull as a snake, and he has a snake in his brain. But it harkens to the fact that when he threatened to kill his wife Thor, when he said, if you don't go, I'll kill Thor. The funny thing is, my first instinct was, why doesn't he take Thor with him? But you think it's a good thing that he doesn't take Thor with him. You think she's not good for him. You've been saying something.
I thought the exact same thing. When he was saying goodbye to her, my first thought is like, why would you not go with? Maybe it's not professional.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not good on the resume.
Or maybe Ivar's not even offering that. Maybe he's kind of, who knows?
Yeah.
He's holding her hostage.
Maybe he's holding her hostage or something. Like, otherwise, he might just run away. But it's, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And so you guys are giving so many comments. I can't even keep up. I'm just going to move on because I can't. There's so many comments.
Let's move on.
You guys are fast. I'm not as quick as that. So where do we draw the line? You have merciful versus feared, right?
Yeah.
Look, I don't want you to be alone. I want you to have a place. I love you. You're my brother. And so I want you to advocate for me and, you know, go cement with our allies. But if you don't go, I'm going to burn your wife. So are we on the loving part here, or are we on the fearing part?
Yeah, and it's kind of, and I think it's actually a good thing. So like they both know where each other stands, because it really wasn't. It always seemed weird to have, you know, Vitsik kind of like wandering around outside the circle, like, yeah, you're not really a god, you know, and just kind of like being this voice of dissent. Like, how long is Ivar going to take that? And then plus, how long could, you know, Vitsik do that, you know, productively? I don't think he would feel good. So I'd like to see. Well, I actually cheated and looked at the preview, but I like the fact that he's getting to venture out and do something else.
Do something else, yeah. It's when he is leaving, and so he's taking his fate a little bit in his own hands and can. And so hopefully that happens. Mark Walling is saying, Ivar can't wait till Bjorn takes him out. I'm sick of Ivar. And so I think, I don't know, What do you think? Like, is, are we over Ivar? Or is he, not, is he a really good? Is he really good though? And he's acting like he's so good at what he does. Like, we hate him, and that's what we all need to do.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, he's been such. We've been seeing like the wheels in his head turn so much, and he's been holding on the power and tightening on power and tightening on power. He's been kind of like one note. So this is the first time we've kind of like seen him have a little bit more nuance. Like, maybe I'd like to be loved, and he didn't really think about it. It was just, you know, Frey just threw that out there. So yeah, I'd like to see some more nuance in his character. I'd like to see another side to him, and perhaps we will get to see maybe more of the benevolent side.
Because we have only seen one side, and that is, once again, like we said, the you know, the crazy-ass side.
Yeah.
God. And then he, I think it was so great, that slithering trail.
Yeah.
Like, he just, he didn't go on his crutches, maybe wanted to be quiet, but just like the whole snake in the brain, he's sneaky, he's slithering around, he's like, just not, he's just acting like a snake.
So creepy, man.
Snake was my nickname in university.
Really? Is that you, man? Uh-oh, we gotta keep an eye on
you. No, it's not me. I'm just saying, it's kind of weird just to snake. Jake the snake. Anyway, nor here nor there, right? Let's move on. All right, so at this point, Thora and Witzek, they're gone. So Witzek is saying bye, and he's making sure he tells her, like, and this is why I wondered why you didn't, you know, take her with. It's like, be careful of Ivar, because I can tell you that Ivar is to the point in his mind where he will still burn her, even though Witzek has left.
Right, yeah, like, what's keeping
like
her?
Like, give me the odds. Out of 10.
Thing is, I just don't think he doesn't have a reason to. I think he would like to kind of save her, kind of like she's basically a hostage, you know what I mean? So if Witzek ever does anything wrong, then, you know, he can hurt her, he can kill her. So I don't think he will. He has nothing to gain from it at this point. You know, we know he's sadistic, but he's not that far gone where he can't see that it's a good play to keep her.
Got you. Ara saying, do you think Ivar has a suspicion that Witzek might try to revolt against him with the other Earl he sent him to treaty with? Do you think so?
I mean, the thing is, Ivar, being as shrewd as he is, he has to consider that. He has to know that when he's letting him out the fold, that that's a possibility. So,
you know what comes to mind? We're moving on now, because that's the end of the Kattegat sign, and we're going to Wessex, and just to connect Kattegat and Wessex together. In the beginning, Judith said, like, as a king, you have to be brutal. You have to do the most foul things to stay in power, to protect yourself. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening in Kattegat. But Ivar, the easy thing would have been to kill Witzek. That would have been the kingly thing to do, according to Judith, probably.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. He would have definitely been ruling out of fear, and there definitely would have been a contingent of people who really don't believe he's a god. They're just there because they don't want to die. I mean, you know, and maybe he doesn't care, you know, but they're definitely, once he would have killed his brother, I think, like, he's already killed one brother already. He's just killed a couple of brothers.
He did.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes,
thank you,
did.
Al.
Let's see what Sigurd has to say about that. Oh, wait. No, we can't.
I was like, wait, he's dead.
Axe to the chest.
He did. Axe in the chest, he's dead. And so, God, he's already... Exactly.
Yeah.
See? I didn't even come to mind. Did you guys think about that?
Well,
he already killed
about
one brother.
It. Yeah.
Right? So. How many more before, you know, he's just like...
It's definitely not beyond him, but I like the fact that at least he's being measured at this point in time. Because it might generate more... Who knows? It might generate just more chaos and more disloyalty and make them more, more vulnerable to an attack, and maybe they might sympathize with the outsiders when they say, Bjorn, come in, you know, the good king, you know, the true king, you know, he's not as evil and he's not as violent as this other guy. So I think he's got to walk a nice line, a very
very
narrow
thin
line.
Yeah. Ara is saying that 8 out of 10, 80% that Ivar will burn her just because he's getting bored. That is brutal. Damn. Okay. So let's move on to Wessex. You have some good news or info for us.
Oh, yes, I do. I got some important info for you guys. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air and give you a shout-out. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yay! You guys are the best fans, especially on Vikings, because you guys are just awesome. You guys give us a lot of love. I'm going to say that again. You guys give us so much love, and we really, 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 really appreciate it. So we're going to give you guys the love back and make sure we're here every week to talk Vikings, right? Okay, so let's move on to Wessex. I've got a paper here, and in the name of James, by the way, James is working in San Diego. He wished he could have been here, and what up, James? Will be back hopefully next week. Right? And so this is in honor of James.
There you go. That
was completely missed. I'm going to, next time, I'm going to dodge that knife throw, Steve.
I heard it hit something.
Yeah,
not a young half-black.
Okay, go with the knife again, Steve. Oh, you missed me.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Okay, let's move on to Wessex. Sorry, guys. We're having some fun. It's so much fun here with everybody. So this thing is starting off with Æthelred and being buried underneath some floor. And I was just like, where's the cover? Are they just putting soil on top of him? Is it going to rot underneath the stones? Is it going to start smelling bad in church? Like, what is happening?
Yeah. And I mean, it was just so bizarre, too. Forgive me if I'm skipping too far ahead, but like when the king comes in, he's like, what's going on? I'm like, what is this?
No, this is, you're exactly spot on, Al. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what happened. He comes in, he's like, my God, you've awakened. Like, after you sleep, Prince Beauty. He walks in, like, you know, just after a long night out or something, and he doesn't know what's going on. And it's like, who's this beautiful burial for? And obviously, they tell him it's his brother. Yeah. And then Judith's, like, and Ariadne said this. Like, I started watching the episode. Ariadne, I think you started watching a little bit before me, and you're like, 20 minutes in, you're already sick of Judith. I mean, she's just, like, spewing it.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing about the Judith, and this is a good point. We, as a mother, terrible mom, bad mom, don't kill your other son. But is she the essence of what she's saying to solidify her son, who is king, to solidify his power? Is she showing him how to make those decisions, those hard decisions that he needs to make?
And doing it for him?
And doing it for him, maybe teaching him.
Setting an example?
Yeah, setting an example, like you can't have emotions like everybody else. So basically, we hate her for being the bad guy, or for being the bad girl. We'll say the bad guy, but she's just doing what needs to be done.
She was doing the kingly thing, the whole thing that she spewed. And she was like, oh, it was so awful, he collapsed. Bullshit. We all know what happened. You killed him. And so now, just before they talk to you, well, we can just jump into that, because just between that, she's sending the poor Æthelred's wife or girlfriend home, right?
Yeah, poor thing.
It's pretty harsh. So now that's another example of, well, let's just do the kingly thing here. So since your husband is dead, it's time to pack your bags and skedaddle.
And you know what? I think we haven't seen the last of her. She might have made another enemy.
You know? She definitely made another enemy, because she even called it out. So, like, I know it's kind of weird that you're not that sad, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, broken that your son just died.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. So I don't know what to think about that.
Mm-hmm. And Judith, not that we ever expect her to do the compassionate thing, but if she wanted to be a fair queen's mother. Oh, you can stay with us. You'll always be part of the family. No, she was like, get the heck out of here. Get your bags and bounce.
She is cutthroat. She ain't going to say, stay as long as you want. We'll get through this together. No, your husband died yesterday. Tomorrow you are on the street. Out. Go back to your mother. So now this is where we get to Æthelred and Judith. So this was kind of, I don't know what to make of this, really. And I would love to know what you guys in the live chat, throw it in there for me right now. What do you guys make of this whole Æthelred Judith scene? Like, he's angry, acting like a child. She looks scared of him in the beginning, and then he's like telling basically that I killed your brother. He gets mad, but then she gives the whole spiel about being a king and doing the kingly thing, and that you need to be brutal to stay in power.
I think it was definitely something that he needed to hear, and we don't want to see. We like Æthelred because he's kind of like I feel like he's like the stand-in for the audience. You know, he's intelligent, but he's not violent. You know, he still has his feelings and his emotions. But she's definitely turning him into that brutal king, which I guess ultimately you need to be. You know, and when you really think about it, you know, who knows? Maybe the minute he gets sick again, or the minute Æthelred pisses off some nobles, then you know they get right back in Æthelred's ear again. You got to deal with that whole thing again. Can you trust him? You think you trust him, but can you really? I don't know, man. It's brutal. It's, you know, it's like that whole Game of Thrones royalty thing. You got to, like, you know, off with their heads. That is heads, the... spikes.
Damn, jeez, exactly. That's the only way to be sure. Juicy as that sounds. Mark is saying, yeah, good scene. I really like the actor who plays Alfred. Good actor. Jeff is saying, Alfred will take her out eventually from what she has said. So Judith, you know, saying that you think that Alfred is going to take out the mother. The mother kills the son. The brother kills the mother.
It's, I like that.
That's kind of a wicked triangle. You guys are dark and deep. Damn. But Jeff says it might backfire for her, the whole thing. Alfred sure had a lot of energy after being sick for so long. He really made a mess, Lollipop Girl. That is hilarious. Yes, he. I saw this. He was picking up the table, and there was like a split second where I feel like he couldn't lift it. And then it ended up. So I feel like it was obviously a prop or whatever, but I think the table might have been too
heavy. He was just so angry. He was grieving.
So angry, but he also just woke up from like, haven't eaten for like seven, however long he was in a coma for. So that is hilarious. Emily is saying, Judith is a bad mother. You know what, Judith? Poisoning your own kid, I guess that accounts to being
a little bit
bad mother. I think you're underkilling it there. Is that a thing? Underkill?
I don't know. No? She won't win Mother of the Year.
She will not win Mother of the Year. That is for sure. She won't. All right. So this whole scene is playing off. She's saying you have to do terrible things. And that kind of stuck with me. You have to do terrible things. She's not specific to what. Obviously, that she's speaking about her own actions. She's almost, and then one of you guys said it here, she is justifying or trying to make herself feel better. I killed the one brother to save the other brother. And that's what you all said in the comment sections in the previous episode in the comments afterwards. You said, well, that's why she's saving the one brother by killing the other one. Do you think that's how it should have been?
She's pragmatic and she's walking it the way she talks it. And I think this is the way she thinks a king needs to be. And if we throw out all the sentimentality and all that stuff, really? Where you think about it, if you're going to be king, I think it's the right decision. I would have been bummed that my mom did it.
Shit.
I would have been bummed that my mom did it. But Aethelred, yeah, man, you can't be sitting there plotting. Who knows what's going on with you? And if we send you away, who knows? You may probably join up with somebody else. So, man, let's poison him too. Your wife, pack her bags too. Let's get them all out of here.
She can be happy, glad she wasn't poisoned as well, just for not leaving in time, But so another thing here is like, is something that I think is going to change Alfred and it's going to change the course of this next few episodes is her saying that you're feeling like a normal person. You're acting like a normal person. You have emotions like a normal person. You are not a normal person. You're a king. So she's completely separating him like an entity, almost like Ivar as a god, right? Like, that's ridiculous. You can't go through life like that. You won't be sane. You'll be suspicious and annoyed. You'll go crazy. If you have to look over your back the whole time, I don't think that's the right advice, I guess.
But I think her goal is to toughen him up, though. And I think he's hardening a little bit, so he'll be able to make these like tough decisions, killing people. He'll be able to make those decisions, I think, a little bit easier.
Which brings us back. Do you want to be a king that's feared or a king that's loved?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it plays into both of these.
And guess what?
Lines.
The kings, sometimes the kings that are loved, if they're not feared, they get killed. So sometimes, it's like, I'd rather be safe. Let's just be feared, okay? Let's just kill everybody.
Kill everybody. Nobody can be against us.
All this, I'd like to be loved and all that, but that means somebody's going to, you're going to think I'm a little too weak out there. I know this whole love thing. I like the love, but one of you is going to test me.
And he will hang by the rope for it.
Yeah.
So now these guys are, yes, sir. This nonstop attacks, all right? It's just like, I feel like it's just like, it's coming. These Vikings are really putting this Englishman to the test, okay? So we've got another Viking army approaching. Nothing to do with any of the Vikings that we've known so far.
Did they call them Danes? Is that what they
call them? Danes, okay. Yeah. Danish Danes from Daneland, I said last week, from Denmark. And so these guys are Norway, Denmark, yeah, but they're all Vikings, Scandinavia, right? Mm. And so he's saying, Alfred is like, okay, well, it doesn't matter, and they'll be in a few days. I've got 2,000 people. Now, from the battle scenes that I've seen and the amount of death and the amount of people, 2,000 people, I mean, that doesn't really always look like thousands of people in the actual scene, but I can only imagine like how much it's supposed to be. Mm. I just didn't feel like 2,000 was it. Like 300 ships.
Yeah. We didn't see all the guys in the background, with spears and hiding in the trees.
But think about it. 300 ships, 20 people, per ship.
Yeah.
What's the math there?
Yeah.
6,000, huh?
Yeah. Good, but and good point. Do you think this whole thing, I mean, people like, leveraging their power when Witzer's like, okay, if Alfred, if you want me to help defend you, you got to make me head of your army. Like, that's a huge thing, right?
Well, he's wiggling his way in there. So not only is he now becoming Christian, he's got safe haven there. Mm. Now he's becoming the head of the army. Isn't that the most second? Isn't that the second most powerful position that there is?
That's got to be. I think that's a bit too. I think that would be a bit too fast for him. I think there would definitely be a lot of outcry, you know, from the lords and from his own military.
From
maybe
from the other, because he's very confident in his commanders and all that kind of stuff. But let's get real here.
Yeah.
I think, regardless of the outcry, it's black and white. You make it. There's only one outcome. You either die or you live. You either stay in power or you're not. So you either make me commander, and you win, or you don't. So you can be angry. You guys can retaliate and, you know, say all everybody say your point of view and say your opinion. But in the end, if it doesn't happen, then everybody is going to eat shit.
Then let me ask you a question. What if Alfred takes a more measured kind of like a what do you call it? The middle path. Yeah, where he's like, okay, maybe I won't make you head. I'll make you, like, if this goes well, I'll make you
advisor.
The head right now. Advisor. Yeah. Or maybe I'll let you command half of them. Or is it kind of like an all or nothing? Is Vincent like, if you don't give me total control instead of partial control, then does he sabotage them? Does he make them lose?
That's the thing. It's an ultimatum, right? Yeah, okay. It's an ultimatum. Exactly. That's an excellent point, Al. It's an ultimatum. So, yeah, in one end, it's black and white. Like, either you die or you're not. So make me, commander or not. But then in the other end, it's exactly that. If he doesn't say half of the army, and I don't think he would have taken it.
Probably not.
He's got a hold. Because he's got this opportunity, this leverage.
He's got him where he wants him.
He got him where he wants him. And why wouldn't you want to up yourself? It's the same as Rollo, like, making up in the France. And now the rest of the Ragnars are in Achter. The Lothbrooks are up in England. And next thing you know, he's king.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
You never know what's going to happen in this show.
Good example.
And so Uber's going to be head of the army, obviously. Early prediction. Ah, not allowed to do that. Not early. I'm going to tell you guys my predictions in the predictions.
Okay.
So that's about it. So
Did we talk about Iceland yet?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that now. Yeah, we're getting to Iceland. Guys, so we've got Mark saying, yes, I love that. That as well as they became friends like Ragnar and Athelstan Skoll. All right, so I don't know. I guess I missed the whole storyline. Let's just move on to Iceland while I catch up on what's going on there in the live chat. All right, so Iceland is we've been waiting for this for a very, very long time.
Woo.
Like, you guys have been calling it out. You have been saying, I'm bored. Like, you guys have been saying, I fast forward through the Iceland parts. And fair enough, right? But is this Michael Hurst's trick? Is he like drawing us out and then wham? Like, shit just goes down.
I think he definitely did. You know, he kind of dangled this whole thing of like, well, people can change and they'll be reunified again. So he was definitely playing with our emotions.
Yeah, absolutely playing with our emotions. Now, these guys are emotionally trudging through the snow. Once again, I always said with James last week as well, if every scene is they're just trudging through snow, it's ridiculous. Yeah. To the bad settlement. These guys come in there. A leaking roof is an understatement. I don't even think there is a roof. Okay, it's just raining into this little.
It's just snow. It's rain and bog and mud and rain and mud and rain and mud. Yeah, it's
and Chetel, like James said last week.
Is that how you say his name?
Chetel.
Okay.
Chetel. We'll I think everybody's got their own unique way.
Okay.
To say that. So at first, it's all good, right? So we're good. We've all changed. Flocky was right. Everybody's right. This is all good. Yes, thank you, Steve. That was amazing. Flocky is right. And then, oh my God, what the F? And I'm sorry, but I predicted this.
Did you?
I said this.
Nice.
And I need a thumbs up for that because I really did, okay? That's the one prediction in 5 seasons that's come true.
All right.
And
man.
I can't believe it because I didn't actually think it was going to happen.
But good call.
Yeah, good call. It was a trap. And so they're saying they planned it so long. And they're obviously calling out the grandma and they just to ruffle the feathers a bit. And then it just starts slitting throats.
Oh, man. It's just like a bloodbath. It's a bloodbath. And yeah, I mean, I didn't think they were going to kill. Helgi too, but they killed Helgi too.
They killed all of them. They killed
Splat.
What's going on? Oh shit.
We had some lightning in there too.
Lightning in there. Oh.
Yeah.
And so thanks for the thumbs up, by the way. I appreciate it. Yeah. God, guys. So everybody did, but they didn't kill Floki, and I'm kind of wondering why.
Interesting.
Why did they not kill Floki? Floki's this new seer, you guys are saying. Maybe he's the new seer. Maybe he's just not really part of the whole battle between these two families.
Right. I think for all of Hetal, for all of his anger and want for revenge, I mean, well, clearly he knows that Floki is not an enemy. But I'm like you. I mean, if somebody's willing to go that far, why wouldn't he just say, oh, let's just take Floki out too? You know, I'll just be, nobody's going to get in my way. I just might as well lead everybody. Yeah. I mean, what's to stop him?
I mean, well, for one, he's a boat builder. If they know they have a boat, they're not leaving the island. So maybe that's a good reason.
There you go.
Floki, the boat builder. Keep Floki alive. We need a boat.
Right.
But Helgi wasn't kept alive and nobody else. Eivind was dead and everybody. And so the person that's obviously taking this the hardest is Helgi's...
Odd, is that what you're saying?
Odd wife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's beautiful. And by the way, I'm just going to throw that out there. She is just sad as well that her own father, because this is Hetal's daughter, if I have this right. Just call me out if it's not. But basically the other camps, you know, that's... And so she can't believe that her own father killed it. So what I was initially thinking is she's going to go kill the father or the rest of the people, but she doesn't.
And what about the fact that too that Floki was even telling Hetal that Helgi he loves your daughter. He's on your side.
Don't kill. He wasn't
he's
part
been
of this
partial
at all.
To you. And he was like yeah.
Maybe if he survives the night, maybe we can let him live. It will make us all feel better or something like. Well, that didn't work, and so now you're dead.
Yeah.
And so your daughter now is also dead. So you just I'm not going to swear on the show anymore. Yeah. You just effed it up. You just messed it up.
What would make him think that his daughter would continue to want to live with him or love him as a
Maybe
father?
Maybe she didn't think that he thought that she loved him as much as he thought
Obviously
that she
not.
Loved
Clearly
him.
Clearly not.
You're right.
Man,
maybe if Hetal let his daughter know that he also is a WWE superstar in real life.
Oh,
name the Edge.
Is that him?
is our viewers seeing that right now?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
just throwing that out there.
That is
just
awesome. Okay, so he is a WWE wrestler, if I have that right.
Edge. Yeah.
What's his name?
Edge.
Edge. Okay. The Edge. And he's in Vikings? I'm going to become
otherwise
a WWE
known
fan.
As Adam Copeland.
Nice.
Adam Copeland. What a legend.
Well, if that was your dad, you know, you kind of
awesome.
Side with him.
And so no wonder he's still alive.
Yeah.
For how long, we'll see. Because Floki is still in the picture. Right. And so, yeah, the scene ends up where Odd jumps off very sad the cliff, which looks like something out of Lord of Rings.
Exactly.
That the whole place. And that is the end of the episode. So let's get to predictions. Nothing? Okay, let's get... I was waiting for some kind of lighting and... Oh, here we go. Oh, what's that? No? Okay. Ah!
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
All caught up now, guys.
I was like, thanks, Steve, for... I mean, what are you doing back there? Come on, dude. Steve is amazing. I'm kidding. Steve is so on it. It's ridiculous. This show would be nothing without you. Thank you, Steve. Okay, predictions. What do you think is going to happen? We've got 3 episodes left before the final season, which is, by the way, we found out today that's going to get canceled.
Oh, yeah. After season 6,
after
right?
After season 6. But right. Don't worry. We are going to be here in the studio with you guys up until 2020.
To the bitter end.
To the bitter end. Up until the year 2020, because that's until when these episodes are going to go. So,
okay. So
for this next 3 episodes, your prediction.
So, yeah. Okay. We know that Vitserk must leave Thor, and he's been basically forced to go make these treaties on behalf of Ivar. I not only is going to go out, and I think he's going to consolidate his power with these people who Ivar directed him to. I forget the name of the people he directed him to, but I'd like to see him come back around and make a peace treaty with Bjorn and Harald too, and they all gang up and take Ivar out.
Well, I think all of us would love
we'd all love that.
That would be one massive battle, especially like Ivar's like posse and his fighters with their weird helmets and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
Long
that's awesome.
Long-term play.
No,
maybe
but that's
next
awesome.
Season.
No, that, yeah, maybe not. That shit's happening. You've got 3 episodes left. That's a lot can happen, you know. I'm gonna call out one of our fans, Dennis Kildegard. Again, he's a historian professor from, I think it's Sweden or Norway, somewhere in Scandinavia. But he gave a prediction, and I'm going to call this out for him. And he said that Bjorn is going to go back. I don't know if this is going to happen, but Bjorn is going to go back. He's going to is going to defeat Ivar, but Ivar is not going to die. Ivar is going to flee to Russia.
Hmm.
Yes, where he's going to become befriend the king over there and make an alliance with them. I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I have heard a lot of talk about this whole storyline in season 6 moving towards Russia in the actual history show that we're watching.
Okay.
So that is Dennis's prediction.
Nice.
My prediction is that Bjorn is going to kill King Harald.
Woo!
That's all I have for you
Hot
guys.
Take right there.
Hot
man.
Take for you Hot guys. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Vikings, Season 5, Episode 17. My name is Jakob Winnings. If you guys love wine, if you drink wine, if you're into wine, go to grapeunknown.com. There's a free wine course on there for you. You can drink wine with me. We have live tastings every month. And it's for beginners. So if you're new to wine, this is where you need to be. My name is Yaku, and I'm joined with my graceful host.
Hey, everybody. Al Gragg. You can find me on IG at @Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm. We got a screening coming up in February, too, so follow along.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. Much love. Mwah!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.